Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you can tell both by the PowerPoint slide and the church sign when you drove into the parking lot and your sermon outline on the back of your handout, the title of our message today is a very important message. It's entitled Wounded Men. Let me read to you from John chapter 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my lambs." Jesus said to him a second time, "Do you love me?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to Peter the third time, "Do you love me?" Peter was grieved because the Lord had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Again, I invite you to follow the sermon outline in the back of your handout as we consider this very important theme, wounded men. I have a question for you this morning. Here's the question. Where are the men? This is a question that we're hearing more and more in society, in the church, and in the home. Where are the men? Too many men seem to be abandoning their traditional leadership roles that have characterized them in the past. Too many men seem to be surrendering their leadership roles to their wives, to women, to anybody who will step up and take their place as a leader. And the sad results are seen every day in newspapers, in churches, and around the family dinner table. Now, the purpose of this Father's Day sermon today is not to shake a finger at men who are here and who are not here and say, "Shame on you." No. The purpose of this sermon is to look for the reasons for the absence of men today as leaders, and to hear God's solution. When we look around us, and you must be honest with yourself as I am, when we look around us and see the increasing male leadership vacuum, often it's due to one factor. Many men are wounded and they don't know how to deal with their woundedness. Because life is tough, we men will be wounded. Men. We live in a sin-scarred world. We will be wounded by sin, by our sin, by the sin of others. And our souls as men, our souls have been, are being, and will be torn and wounded. Now, women, please note, there is a wound in the masculine soul that leads to insecurity. And this wound has many causes. Here are just a few. They're on your handout. The realization in a man's heart that he'll never be all that he dreamed he would be. The realization in a man's heart that his marriage is not a storybook fairy tale and that he has made some mistakes. The nagging fear that he's not able to provide for his family's needs as he hoped he would be able to. The anxiety that his children are not turning out the way he wanted them to and wondering, what could he have done differently? The sinking awareness as a man that He is a step slower. His hair is graying. His energy is just not what it used to be. Now the men, the problem is not just the wounding. The bigger problem is how we respond to it. Various factors contribute to this, and they are listed on your handout. First of all, our upbringing. If we've been raised with the notion that real men don't cry, then we are led to snuff out our feelings, to bury our pain, to deny our hurt. And one result can be that men end up being walking emotional volcanoes, exploding with periodic explosions of anger. And men, so very often, our explosions of anger are just a mask. They're a mask for our pain. We somehow feel it is more manly to show anger than to shed a healthy tear. Another factor these days is this: our own sexuality is under attack. Two examples of this would be radical feminism and the vocal homosexual agenda. Such things call into question what it even means to be a man these days. And just one result can be a man gets confused how he should relate to the opposite sex. Should we be strong? Or should we be sensitive? Should we be powerful? Or should we be passive? What is expected of a man in these confusing days in which we live? And yet another factor that contributes to the wounding and how we respond to it as men is this: our fast-changing culture. Now, unlike women, my goodness, men, unlike women who know better. And by the way, if you think you're a big, tough, rough, and strong guy, let me ask you, you try having a baby and then tell me how tough you are. But real men who think they're tough in our fast-changing culture, unlike women, most men have never developed the needed support systems like mentors or bosom buddies or close friends or just one good friend with whom you can share your heart. Lacking such support in this fast-changing culture, men can feel lonely, can have a sense of powerlessness. And then we can feel and we can respond with the one emotion we feel safe in expressing: anger. Today, we're talking to wounded men, because all men are wounded. And there are destructive ways with which we respond to this woundedness. These are listed for you too on your handout. One way is losing ourselves in our work. A man can spend hours and hours and hours on the job. He can make his workplace somewhere he goes to escape and avoid his home and his family where he's really needed. A man ends up defining himself by what he does. You ask a woman quite often, "Tell me, who are you? Tell me something about yourself." And she will say, "I'm a wife. I'm a mother. And these are my children." Ask a man, "Who are you? Tell me something about you." And he'll say, "I'm a foreman at the factory. I'm an accountant. I build and renovate houses. I sell real estate." One problem with defining myself by what I do is this: well, my job's going good, that must mean I'm good. But my job is not going so good, then that must mean I'm bad and I'm not much of a man. Or If I have retired, if I have retired and my work has defined who I am, then after retirement, who am I really? Now, some men may not be losing themselves at work, but they may be falling prey to addiction. Such addictions may include alcohol or drugs or sex or sports or television, anything they think that can be used to relieve their daily pressures or to escape even a small way their chronic woundedness and pain. Some men turn away from their wives and turn to having an affair or an improper relationship with another woman. And to quote from a song from many years ago, they end up looking for love in all the wrong places. Some men try to cope with their woundedness or feeling of powerlessness by wielding improper power at home or on the job. And the results of this can include emotional or physical abuse of their loved ones or their workmates. Remember again, men often exhibit anger as a substitute emotion to cover up their own pain. Now we've heard of the bad news. Now we've heard the diagnosis. What is God's solution? A way out of the man's wounded wilderness can be seen in the life of Peter, the disciple of Jesus. In the text from John 21 I read earlier, at the beginning of a sermon, we find that Peter is a wounded man. All through the gospel accounts, Peter is known as one who opens up his mouth and inserts his foot. He is known as a man who makes promises he can never keep. He says things he later regrets. One great example is Peter bragging to all the disciples and to Jesus. Jesus, even if everyone deserts you, I will never desert you. I will die for you. And yet, not long later, the night before Jesus' crucifixion, not once, not twice, but three times, Peter denies he even knows Jesus. And when Jesus is crucified on the cross, Peter's world collapses. Now, Peter could have lost himself in his work. He could have gone back to work as a fisherman. Peter could have drowned himself in a wine bottle. Peter could have taken the path of Judas, which led to suicide. But in John's Gospel, chapter 21, we find three things that help Peter and that will help all men. And now, if you haven't yet, follow now these last three points on your sermon outline. What helped Peter? What can help us? First, Peter gets reconnected. John 21, 1 to 2 says this. After these things, Jesus showed himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were gathered together. Did you notice? Peter did not withdraw from the other disciples. He gathered together with them as wounded men, because remember, the other disciples had abandoned Jesus also. But at this gathering of wounded men, the resurrected Jesus appears and he shows himself to them, and he came to love them, to forgive them, to strengthen them, to heal them of their woundedness. Men, are you listening to this? We need to dispel the myth of the Lone Ranger. The idea that we can go it alone and we don't need anybody else. Men, we need Christian friends. We need the support of other godly men. We need the fellowship of the Christian church. We need to gather in that place where our Lord has promised He would be, to forgive us, to strengthen us, to heal our wounds. Our Lord comes today where His men are gathered. Let me step back from the sermon for a minute and share something very personal with all of you. In my life, one example of this, of the necessity of being reconnected to other men and to God is this, is our Tuesday morning Trinity's men's group. Every Tuesday morning from 7 to 8 a.m., we gather for breakfast, for short Bible study and prayer. We gather as men, as friends, as those who need the support of one another and the presence of our Lord. Tuesday is a lifeline in my life. And any man here who has a question about this group, I'd be glad to explain what we do. Another example for me. And Ben, I'm glad you've come back in from doing your fatherly duties in the narthex with the boys. Another example for me is my Friday morning 6:30 a.m. run with Ben Mann. Ben, I want to thank you publicly for your faithfulness in running with me Friday after Friday morning, rain or shine, at 6:30 a.m. A pastor needs a friend, too. He needs another man, a brother in Christ, with whom he can share his heart. And then for me is the Thursday morning running group, comprised of Ruben Elizondo, Henry Chung, and Pastor Chung. Thanks, guys, for being there for me every Thursday as we share all the things we have as men as we run at Minoru Park. Well, first, Peter got reconnected with other godly men and with his Lord. And secondly, what does it say on your outline? Peter got restored. As we read at the beginning of our sermon from John 21, after breakfast with Jesus and the other disciples, Jesus takes Peter aside. Just Jesus. Just Peter. And we can imagine them walking down the beach on the sand. Their footprints, nobody else's, the other men left behind. Here is a wonderful, tender scene of Scripture. Jesus personally takes Peter aside and provides healing for his wounds. You recall that Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. And now, Jesus asked Peter 3 times. Do you love me? And Peter embraces Jesus' healing words by responding, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Men, today it's time to swallow our foolish pride and to let our Lord Jesus heal our wounds. He provides healing and forgiveness each and every Sunday in this place. And beyond that, He invites you to go to Him privately in prayer, that He can put His arm on your shoulder as He did with Peter, that you can walk with Him one-on-one down that beach, that He could provide healing for your wounds. Another way to be restored might be to have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or even a cold beverage with your pastor. Or with another trusted Christian brother. Peter was reconnected. Peter was restored. And finally, what does it say? Peter gets recommissioned. Did you notice that earlier Jesus' response to Peter's acceptance of his healing? 3 times Jesus said to Peter, tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, tend my sheep. Jesus is recommissioning Peter. Jesus is calling Peter to resume his position of leadership as the head of the disciples. No matter how far he's fallen, Jesus recommissions him. And also to be the leader of the New Testament church. Sometime go home and read the book of Acts in the New Testament. A testimony how Jesus made a mighty leader out of Peter, this wounded man. Well, we wrap up our message this morning. Today's message is a message that all men and all women need to hear. In Jesus' name, I say to all of you, your sins are forgiven. He is here today to heal your woundedness, to reconnect you to other believers and to himself, to restore you by his gift of emotional and spiritual healing, to recommission you, men, to be the leaders he is calling you to be in your home, on your job, in all areas of your life. Men, especially today, on Father's Day, let's bring our wounds to Jesus. There's an old saying that was turned into a book. And the saying is, real men don't eat quiche. What that really means is this. Men must always be tough. Men can never be sensitive. Men can never be vulnerable or ever admit that they're wounded. No! Men, fathers, husbands, now is the time to bring your wounds to Jesus. Now is the time to receive his healing. Now is the time to build relationships with other godly men. Now is the time to bring God's truth to our society, to our church, and to our home. Now is the time to take up our calling as spiritual leaders. Now is the time to be the men that God wants us to be. Jesus exchanged Peter's wounds for real manhood. And he can do the same for you today. In the name of Jesus, amen.